This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
I'm now joined in the studio by Helen Hitchcock from Helping Elsewhere. Hello there, Helen.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Good to see you. So let's start off then with the story about how Helping Elsewhere came about, because it all began when you started to spend holidays in a little village called Mandrim in the north of Goa, and you then met Gina, who was working at your holiday retreat, who suggested that you accompany her to the nearby school to meet the headmistress. So perhaps you could take us forward. What happened then?
We walked into this tiny, tiny school that had anthills in the walls, snakes coming through across the floor, and it was falling down.
Gosh.
And people from one of the ladies from the village had married very well, and their donation to Mandrei was to build a new school. The only trouble was they built the school, but they didn't then save any money for anything else, so there was no books, no teachers, no desks.
So it was completely empty?
It was empty.
Completely empty?
Completely empty. I walked in with Gina, met this amazing headmistress, Jacinta, and I wandered around and I just said to her, what would change your life? And she looked at me like I was slightly mad. And I said, well, what would actually enable your life? And she said, books and a computer. So I said, fine, okay, we'll do that then. And I walked out, had no idea how I was going to do that. It was in October, came home and did the classic, please don't send me any birthday presents, Christmas presents, send me money because I want to do this. And within 6 weeks, we'd raised enough money to buy a computer and the base series of the Oxford Reading Tree books for the library.
And congratulations, that's awesome.
From there, really.
Yes. And when was that?
13 years ago.
13 years ago, and then what happened? Because you've subsequently raised money for so many different projects, haven't you?
Well, we took the school. They could only stay till Standard 8, which is 2 years beneath their exam level, which here would be like GCSEs. Over the next 4 or 5 years, we put enough infrastructure in, and I take no credit for what was necessary with the education department. Jacinta did all of that. But we took the school up to a Standard 10 school and kids could stay to do their exams. So it went from a school with 85 children to one with 220, I think.
And what was the reaction of the local community?
It was just incredible. And they wanted their kids to stay because the idea was, well, they'll leave at Standard 8 and they'll go to the school in the next village. But the reality of it is they never did, because it's a tiny, tiny little fishing community and an agricultural community, except during the holiday season when a lot of them would help in the shacks, or, you know, their families would sell things that to the tourists. And so it suddenly enabled these kids to actually finish their education and then potentially go on and do something else.
That's fantastic.
And then we realised we actually couldn't keep the books coming in. So I asked around and I discovered another little organisation that delivered boxes of books to rural schools. And again, met this amazing woman called Sujata, who ran or still does run an organisation called Bookworm in Panjim. And discovered she delivered boxes of books on a rotating basis, which we asked her to continue to do. And we paid her petrol money to come out, because we were very remote as it was then. And I suddenly realised that this amazing teacher was driving her car with boxes of books all over the place. And I said to her, well, why don't you have a van and a man who drives? Well, can't afford that. So we came back and we raised money to do that. And then it just grew.
And then, of course, that helped the literacy amongst the children, didn't it?
Yeah, everywhere, everywhere. So, and then it kind of just... India's very much about meeting people and who you know. And then people would seek me out and say, oh, can you come and do this? And can you come and do that? So.
And had you any experience of running a charity before?
Never.
This?
Never done it before.
So what were you doing before you set up the charity?
I had an event company in London, and before that I worked in the travel industry. So I was used to travelling around the world
and organising
things. So it seemed perfectly obvious to me that that's what we
would do. And was it very daunting setting up a charity from scratch?
No, my view is that I see open doors. I don't see windows. I just see a space that I can walk through. And it's like, well, I can do that. Why can't I do that? And I just
go for it.
Just go for it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
whatever you want to do in life, just go for it. So that's what we did. So we've remained really small, and we see ourselves as a conduit. So I go looking for organisations and other projects around the world, around India really, and Nepal, that I can support, because I don't believe in top-down organisation, because I don't live there all the time. I live there a percentage of the time.
How long do you spend over there?
About 4 months of the year now.
4 months of the year, gosh.
Yeah, so quite a long time.
Yes, indeed.
And I travel all over. We're based in Goa, but I now travel all over the place. My business is now partly based in India, so I have a really good reason to travel
to keep going
around.
There. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also, the little shop that we have, we give a percentage of our profits back. So therefore...
Is the shop in India?
No, the shop is in Stenning in West Sussex.
Oh, right.
And we have our own brand, which is called Sakala. The shop is called Sakala, and we give about 20% of our profits back into the projects that we have, because we had to move out of London because my other half has MS, so we couldn't live in... a typical London terraced house anymore. Right. With steps, it wasn't possible.
Right, and what merchandise does the shop sell?
We have everything manufactured for us. So we have everything from clothes, homewares, all beautiful block prints.
Are these all from India?
Everything. If it's not made for me, we don't sell it. So there's a story behind everything we have.
Well, that brings us neatly up then to this little purse that I brought in, which I was given on the night of the fundraising dinner, the wonderful women dinner, organised by the wonderful Diana Bolter. And can you tell us a bit about this purse?
Right. The little purse that you have is made by the women of Mahaya, which is a women's refuge just outside Pune. The Mahaya was set up by a lady called Sister Lucy, who literally picks women up, destitute women and children and men, off the streets around and about. And there are now 8 different homes around the area of Mahaya, around Pune. And they're all different versions of the Mahaya brand, if you want to call it that. And Mahaya means mother's home. And what making of the purse is that it actually enables the women to have something to do, because it's all very well picking somebody up, but you need to kind of make them feel useful again, give them value to their life, and by making things like that that can be sold, actually creates a little income for
Fantastic.
The home that they live in.
So what projects currently are you fundraising for?
We are continuing to fundraise for Mahaya. I also fundraise for a little organisation right up in the hills in the Himalayas that is all about deforestation and how women are absolutely the key members of the family up in the real rural hinterland of the Himalayan area of Uttarakhand. I work with Safe in Sussex over here, which again is another women's refuge kind of organisation. And if people ask, why am I talking in Surrey about Safe in Sussex? If you're unfortunate enough to have to go to a refuge, you will never go to a refuge in your home area. So a lot of women in Surrey would end up in the refuges in Sussex. We also work a little bit with Kangaroos, which is a charity down in Haywards Heath that runs clubs for kids with life changing and life
okay
not ending conditions.
Well, if I can jump in here and now bring you to 2019, next year, mm-hmm. this time next year, you're going to be doing a wing walk, aren't you, to raise
yep.
funds for your charity.
First
so can you tell us how you're preparing for that?
Well, first of all, I have to lose some weight. So for the first time in my life, I'm going to a gym.
Good
and I
for
have
you.
A personal trainer.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. And yeah, the 1st of June next year, there are 6 fabulous women who are going to be wing walking with me to raise funds for Safe in Sussex and Kangaroos. So we, for once, we're going to do something based in the UK.
And where will you be doing this?
The wing walk will be happening near Upminster in Essex, because there are only 2 airfields that are licensed as fundraising venues for wing walking. The CAA are quite strict about that, so we've picked the one in Essex. We launched the whole campaign on the 25th of September down at Shoreham Airport with a dinner, where the six women will all be there and you can all meet all of us.
Okay, and what sort of aircraft will you be walking on the wing of?
It's a biplane. Most people know the Utterly Butterly planes, the yellow planes that used to be at airfields. It's one of those. I will be strapped on. I'm not just going to stand there and hang on by my fingernails. There's kind of a metal frame. It's 10 minutes out of my life. How hard can this be?
So. Very good. And if somebody wants to sponsor you, how do they go about that?
If they get in touch with me through the shop, actually, would be the best one, because all our publicity is going out because it's a public forum down there. If they want to get in touch through Sakala in Stenning or through our website, you can get hold of me on helen@sakala.co.uk.
And how do we step spelling Sakala?
Sakala is spelt S for sugar, A for apple, K for king, A for apple, L for London, A for apple.co.uk. Or you can find us on Facebook also.
Okay, Scarlett. And what about the Helping Elsewhere website? Could you
the
give
website,
us that, please?
Yes, that's just helpingelsewhere.com. And again, you can contact me on helen@helpingelsewhere.com.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Helen. Wishing you every success with your wing walk next year.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
That was Helen Hitchcock from Helping Elsewhere.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.